Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you here again for a wonderful show. A show that's about you, about those of you that work hard. You've been working so hard for that money, but you want that money to start working hard for you. We want cash flow and freedom today, not someday, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to be able to create that life of freedom, that life that you love, to be with those that you do love, and be able to have that life that most people only dream of or don't even think is possible. And I'm telling you that, guys, we're here to inspire hope. I'm here to tell you that it is possible, that you can live that life that you love and have that life of freedom. So welcome to this show today. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. You can go on that site. You can check out our free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, if you're looking for resourceful ways to free up money. And, you know, there's even some great blogs on there, too. By the way, thank you so much for sharing this podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of it. I love seeing it's growing. 2018 was incredible, and I'm looking forward to 2019 too. And you guys are a big part of it, and I appreciate you guys inspiring me and making this worthwhile. And so today, by the way, I hope today that, with some of these episodes here, that it doesn't get too noisy in the background. I don't have my usual podcast mic because I'm traveling. I'm in Hawaii and I'm in a place where there's a ton of birds chirping. And obviously, if I don't want to fry to death, I got to make sure the windows are open. So hopefully the background noise isn't too much for you. Today, I want to talk about, a question that has been coming up a lot lately, and especially because I know that there's, many people like dentists that I've talked to recently that have heard different concepts and other people too. They're talking about like how to create a real legacy. Like what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind for your children? Do you leave them money or do you make them work for it? You know, do they become trust fund babies or is there something else? And even when they're alive, but even when you're alive, what are things you can teach them while they're young? What kind of things can you pass on? And one of the best examples I've seen of this was a movie, and I definitely recommend going to see this movie. There is a book, but I don't think the book is as great as the movie is, to be honest. The movie actually is back in the day when Abigail Breslin was just a little girl, before she got popular with Little Miss Sunshine, had Brian Dennehy and James Garner and, some greats in there, And this movie, although it's not, it was never popular, this teaches such an important principle. And the real premise of this movie is that, James Garner is a rich billionaire that just passed on. And he was a multi-billionaire, left some of his money to his kids who were spoiled rich brats, right? So they got different things and they whine and complain about what they got or what they didn't get. And then, of course, there's the grandson, Jason, who had a grudge against his grandfather. Well, Jason, he actually had something special in store for him. And so he recorded some videos. By the way, these videos actually remind me a lot of some of the videos I saw of the famous coach John Wooden before he passed on. And I saw some of his videos to his family, which were incredible. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later here. But basically passed on the videos, giving him what he referred to as a series of gifts that lead up to an ultimate gift for his grandson. And so he had to basically jump through some hoops, experience different things. He had experienced what it was like to not have money. He had to find friends. He even traveled internationally and had to serve and do different things like that. And so he had to learn really like how to not be a spoiled rich brat. And that was kind of the point of it, is that he said, man, I did an injustice to my kids. I need to do it right with you. And so that's kind of the premise of the movie. And so the whole movie actually shows this transformation of this grandson from this spoiled rich grandkid to somebody who could actually pass on a legacy from his grandfather of hard work, of dedication, of people being important, not just things. Very heartwarming, touching story. Great movie. I recommend you go watch it because I think it's the very thing that can inspire this whole conversation. And for you and maybe your spouse and your kids can create more conversations. Because, I mean, if you're like me, you want to leave more behind than just money. Because what's most important? If you were to leave behind just one thing, would you leave behind all the assets you accumulated over your life? Or would you leave behind the knowledge and the experiences and the human life value that you've added that allowed you to accumulate those things? I mean, what would you rather pass on? That knowledge and wisdom or just the stuff? Now, imagine if you're probably like me, you're probably saying, well, obviously we pass on the knowledge and the wisdom and the things that we've gained from it and the real principles that you had to learn, right? And that's, I'll tell you, this is actually one big reason why I started recording this podcast. The whole reason I started podcasting back in the end of 2008 was the very first time I started podcasting with my old show before the Chris Miles Money Show. And the whole reason I was doing that was for two reasons. One was make sure that I had clients, questions answered for clients. Some of those, those talking head type things, those commonly asked questions that you get asked over and over to just be easier to say, you know what, I'm going to create a system. Here, you're asking that question. I recorded something on this. It's about 15, 20 minutes. Check it out, or half an hour or whatever, depending on the topic. And I did that, but I also want to leave something behind for my kids that they can learn from. I'm hoping that at some point they're even listening to this episode right now, and understanding the things that I teach. And so that was a big part of the inspiration behind doing the show. The cool thing is you guys are kind of came along for the ride, and definitely have been, I love the fact that I can influence and impact thousands of lives because of this. And so, that's where I appreciate you being a part of this too, because you are part of my legacy that I'm leaving behind, not just for my kids, but for other, worldwide as well. And so anyways, coming back to this, it's really about how do we leave behind something, not just the money, but something more important. So the question is, do we leave behind money for our kids? Well, of course we can. That's totally up to us. We don't have to. We could donate it. You could do like what Warren Buffett did. Warren Buffett said, listen, you guys get a little bit, you'll be taken care of, but the rest of it is gone, is going away. The Bill and Melinda Gates charity, the foundation there, even though they're still alive, a lot of their wealth is going into that foundation to then go and turn around and essentially help the world. That's kind of their big focus, is that they're saying, hey, how can I use this money for something more? And that's a great question for you too. Now, some of you might just say, man, if I could just have enough money to even worry about leaving behind, that would be great. And I agree. We always want to leave the world better than how we came into it, right? We want to make sure the world's a better place for us being in it than saying, wow, I just sucked life away. I sucked, I consumed a lot more than I produced, right? We want to give more. But I want to talk about more than just that, how should we leave this behind? And so, I started testing this out with my kids over the last few weeks. We always taught things like we taught about work ethic and doing chores and things like that and doing good work, good quality work. And there's those little teaching moments that can happen throughout. There's times where my kids will cut corners, right? And they'll cut corners and it's like, well, listen, we shouldn't pay you for that. We shouldn't pay you for cutting corners. We pay you for a job. A lot of times some of my kids will say, how much you gotta pay us per hour? It's like, nope, not per hour, per project. You get paid per project. You get paid for the job being done. There's a certain dollar amount, whether you get that done, quality work done in a few minutes or a few hours, doesn't matter to us. It matters to you because obviously you want to be more efficient because the faster you can do the work and the better you can do the work, the more you get paid. And the big key principle I teach my kids is that dollars follow value, right? The more value you provide in service and in solving problems for people, the more you get paid. And there's certain skill sets and things that'll get you paid more than others. I have kids that I say, hey, develop your computer skills because this can be used to help me produce my podcast and I can pay you for that work. Which, by the way, for those of you looking for tax write-offs, this year we can start paying our kids over $12,000, up to $12,000 a year and getting huge tax breaks on that. And so when I've got eight kids, I can't say I'm going to pay all my kids $12,000 a year, but for the right jobs, yeah. So I want them to develop skills In fact, you know, my company, depending on what kind of skills they are, I can even have my company pay for those skills, for that training, for them to be able to do that work, you know? And so for that on-the-job type training. And so there's a lot of things we can do. Now, I'm getting sidetracked because there's so many cool things you can do with that. But the key thing is teaching my kids that, you know, that it's always about creating value. It's not about being entitled. My wife and I are absolutely just, we like puke in our mouth when we think about entitlement, right? We do not want our kids to ever think they're going to get anything, you know, that they'll have anything necessarily. I'm not saying they won't get anything, but I'm just saying that, you know, I want them to know that the money we create is our money, you know, whatever they create is their money, you know, and that's what they can do. Now, if I know they're a wise steward of those resources as time goes on, yeah, I want to make sure I have the right estate plan, the right trusts in place to be able to do that. You know, there's a lot of talk within certain circles lately about creating a family bank, right? And really, simply put, a family bank is just a way to say, hey, how do we ensure that we can pass on more than just the money? But not only that, but when we do pass on money, it can continue for generation to generation and not just get consumed by a bunch of entitled brats, to put it bluntly, right? And so the family bank uses a combination of estate planning. It uses life insurance. It also uses things, you know, with even how you pass on things to your kids. Now, I'm putting more an emphasis on that. Although, yes, you can, a lot of the things I've taught about with the life insurance, you can use this life insurance, the death benefit, to fund the trust that then allows you to be able to pass on that money and allow that trust to be there. I mean, by the way, when you do that, you know, when you create the right estate plan, you can put directives in there to say, all right, you know, you can't just, you know, you could get money at a certain age. And this is up to you guys. You can say at a certain age you get money. But if you're like me, you've seen enough adults in your life to say, you know, age doesn't really matter. There could be an 18-year-old that's way wiser with money than a 50-year-old, right? It depends on what they've done. And so, yeah, you could say at a certain age they get a certain amount of money, and then whatever they do with it, it could be gone. Now, if it's important to you to say, hey, I worked hard for that money. I want it to last. I want it to last for generation to generation, not just with my kids, but to my grandkids, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids, and so on. And so that's where you put in the trust to say, no. This isn't about age. This is actually, you're taking out a loan. You know, you got to come to the board of directors. You got to request a loan. You got to maybe even have to do a presentation of some sort to say, what are we going to use the loan and what for? That loan can have terms and say how quickly they have to pay back that loan and at what interest rate. You know, so you can put in all kinds of things in place to say, hey, no, the money's coming back in this trust. The money's going to come back in and recycle. Whatever you keep, you keep, you can add it to the family trust. You can continue on however you want. But that's one of the key factors, is you could say, no, you're taking a loan from this. If you're going to start a business, great. Make a little business proposal. You take out a loan, and you got to pay that back with interest. You know, it might be something where they say, hey, I want to do some investing. Great. You can take out a loan and pay back with interest, you know, those kind of things. And I'll tell you, for me personally, one of the big things they do is I want my kids to gain the knowledge and wisdom they need. So yes, they need to learn how to manage their own money. If they blow their money, they got to learn the consequences from that, right? But I want them to learn things too. So reading books, you know, one of the staples of things like Rich Dad Poor Dad is a great book for them to get started. You know, and that's a book that obviously they're going to be probably at least teenagers before they understand. But you know your kids, they might have different levels of what they might understand and what they might not understand, right? There's books like Think and Grow Rich, which can definitely get a little bit deeper. You've got this podcast, you know, like I love the fact that some of you guys tell me you have your kids listening to this podcast with you. And I love that. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can learn from different sources. You know, just over the holiday, you know, break when I had all of my kids together, I made sure I took some of the, you know, the ones that were between the ages of about 8 and 11. And I said, hey, let's go online. So if you guys have heard of the cash flow game that Robert Kiyosaki created with the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, he's got a cash flow game. There's the board game that you can play. And by the way, there's a cash flow for kids where you're like trading carrots and stuff, right? There's some for little kids. And there's the board game, of course, cash flow. Now, what I did with my kids is I said, hey, guys, come here. And I had them come to the computer. I went to the website, you know, with Rich Dad Education. They've got an online version of cash flow that you can play for free. So you don't have to necessarily go buy the board game for like $150 or whatever you find on eBay or Amazon for, right? But you can go on there and find it. And so I was teaching some of my kids, the ones especially between 8 and 11. You know, I even invited a 12-year-old to check it out too. But I said, hey, check this out. You know, this is what their whole goal is, to get out of the rat race. And so teaching them how to do that. Like, hey, you've got to get your passive income more than what you're spending money on. Now, the online game, which is great, it's free. It's not as good as the actual game because they're not actually doing the math. I mean, they do have to, you know, go through and do some things to the numbers. But most of it's adjusting for them. It's doing the math for them. And so, you know, it would be good definitely to have them do their own math, you know, and do the actual game. But the online game's also good too. They still get the general concept and gist of what they need to do. And so I started showing them. And it's interesting because some of my kids said, no, you should do this. I'm like, hold on. I know what you're saying, but watch. Watch what happens. And as they play the game, all of a sudden, bam, got out of the rat race. And we're like, whoa, that was awesome. Like, yep, happened fast, didn't it? Slow start. But the way I do it, it works. You know, I'm not going to go bankrupt with the way I play because it's kind of like the way I want to play in real life. So that's what we did, you know, and it kind of got them intrigued. They're like, oh, cool. And even my 11-year-old is like, man, like, you think I can make a lot of money and then invest? Like, that's what we want you to do. Now, I'll tell you, for my teenagers, for the ones that were like 12 and above, this is where I started playing a different game. Now, this one, actually, you do have to play the board game, but it's so worth it. If you want something that's more like real life, but teaches more than just the money. See, Kiyosaki's game is good because it teaches the math concepts, right? It teaches you, like, hey, how do we do the math? How do we figure out income and expenses, assets and liabilities, and how do we figure out what's going to, you know, create more cash flow to get us out of the rat race? So it's good basic stuff. But it's not quite real life because it says, hey, whatever you do, this is what money you make from this deal. There's another game called the Abundance Game, and you can go to like Higher Laws. I think it's higherlaws.net, maybe it's higherlaws.com, but either way, the Abundance Game you can find also on Amazon and eBay as well. But this game has been critical for me knowing how to like really best express and teach what I've experienced myself. In fact, this is a game I actually play with my clients when I invite them out twice a year to my place. And we play this as part of our event because it's such a key learning tool. Because it's one thing to read Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? But definitely the best thing you can possibly do is have real life experience. And if you can't have the real life experience, at least simulate that life experience, which is what a game does. And so I played with two of my kids, my two oldest kids. We played the Abundance Game. And I love it because it teaches spiritual and emotional principles too, not just the financial. So this is where it beats the cash flow game because you're really learning the things that are behind the money, like what creates that money. And there's so many cool lessons in that. And it's funny because my 14, almost 15-year-old, you know, he was kind of skeptical. He was kind of like, oh, I don't want to play a game. I just want to go to my friend's house. I'm like, buddy, like, I'm just asking this one thing. Let's play. He's like, all right, I'll put a time limit on it, you know, because usually you need at least 2 or 3 hours to play that game. But I'll tell you, he started to enjoy it. It actually became a very spiritual kind of experience, not just a financial or fun experience. It actually was kind of a spiritual thing, and it was awesome. And so I recommend things like that, and that's the kind of stuff that I do with my kids, and definitely recommend you do some of the same things. And, you know, we talked about traditions over the holidays. Like, what kind of traditions are we going to create? This is something that was a big conversation between my wife and I. Is, all right, what are we going to create that's new? Now we have a blended family. We got two different cultures. What do we create ourselves? You know, so we started talking about, you know, instead of buying so many gifts, we said, let's create experiences. We bought pretty much about 2 gifts per kid, a few little stocking stuffers. And then the kids themselves bought, you know, gifts for 2 other kids. So basically, like, every kid got 2 gifts from some other sibling, and then at least about 2 gifts from us, and then some stocking stuffers, and then we gave them an experience instead. So we said, hey, let's go do something. Let's go play. Let's, you know, go climb a bunch of walls, or, you know, maybe go do some arts and crafts and things like that. And, you know, go watch a movie, you know, like that kind of thing. So we try to create more experiences. And next year we decided, hey, we want to do even less gifts. We'll probably even take away one of those gifts. Maybe it'll just be 1 gift. And then 1 experience, and that's it. The less under a tree, the better we felt. We found out that we actually didn't even need the stocking stuffers because by the time they're done with the gifts, they were pretty much done. We didn't need to do more. And so what kind of traditions do you want to create in your family? What are things you want to pass on? Is there things from your heritage that you feel that's important from your past that you want to pass on to your children? Are there other things that could be valuable too? You know, not just, it could be teaching, it could be just fun, it could be whatever it might be. You know, it could be getaways. You know, do you have certain getaways or vacation that you do? You know, if you think about some of your best memories from childhood were things that you did that maybe your parents didn't intend to be the greatest memories, but they did. They became the greatest memories for you, you know, and I see that kind of same thing for my family as well. And you know, that's the thing you have to ask about yours. And so this is the kind of stuff you do. So yes, there's a structure. I mean, yeah, if you want to pass on money, you know, great. Get the right estate plan set up and the trust set up with a great attorney that understands how to do this legacy planning, right? And you have the life insurance that supports that. It works with it as well, which I love the way I do life insurance, because not only do you have the death benefit that helps fund the trust, but you got something that's working while you're alive. And you can actually start investing and creating some massive stuff with that too. Oh, by the way, because of those kids, one idea there, the kids are getting paid up to $12,000 a year. I've had clients flocking to me saying, wait, let's set up these kid policies for my own children and start using this for their education or whatever they want to create down the road. And then from there, you know, we can help them do their own investing, or we can invest it for them so they're going to have even more money than if they just put it away and saved into crappy 529 plans for college savings plans or Roth IRAs or whatever, you know. Plus, you could put in more money than Roth anyway. So, you know, lots of options there. But the key is, it's like, what do you want to leave behind? What is that ultimate gift you want to leave behind to your children so your money doesn't just end or just get spent? You can pass on more than just money, but pass on your experiences, education, and wisdom, so that they can even be wiser than you were with your money. And that's the goal. If I had learned the things that I'm trying to teach my kids, I wish my parents had taught me some of these things, or if they had known them themselves, it would have been great. But they didn't, and that's fine. We can always change our present. We are the kind of the crux right now. We are what creates more. And so, guys, I hope you get however you want to create that legacy, I hope you do it, and you do it well in a way that enriches everyone's lives, yours, your children's, and your posterity beyond you. So guys, I hope you make it a rich and wonderful life, and you make it a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.